do that today.
Are you speaking into the microphone?
I'm speaking into the microphone.
How are your levels?
Well, my levels are good.
My levels are good, too.
So I think that should be it. And I'm probably getting enough of you just a tiny bit in the recording to give me a, you know, to sync up with when I put it together later.
You're listening to All You Fascists. Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, James. So much happening.
Right?
Yeah, of course, you know, we're not going to get into my depression right now. We're going to save that for another show.
Sure. I'll look forward to that.
I'm hurting. So, but yeah, okay. So let's get on with, where do we even start? Gene Carroll.
Okay, right. Apparently, Takapina's being, has been reprimanded by the judge for being repetitive, being mean.
I think really the aha moment of all of this, the moment where it all came crashing down was when, during the deposition, they're showing Trump pictures, right?
Oh, okay. I didn't see that.
Now remember, his whole point, his whole argument was, I couldn't have raped her because she's not my type.
Right, right. I remember that.
Right. Which we don't even need to get into the psychology of that,
right.
but you know, I've one of the worst statements ever, probably. But nonetheless, they're showing him photographs, right? Now, remember, she's not my type, right? They show him a photograph. He's like, oh, that's Marla Maples.
Really?
Like they show him an old photograph, and he's like, oh, that's Marla, my old wife, Marla. It was,
and it's H.E. It was Carroll.
It was a picture of Carol from back then. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So she's not my type, but she does look exactly like my wife at the time.
Which there's a couple of things to unpack there as well, which I probably wouldn't care to.
The whole thing is just a total nightmare. I mean, how on earth? I mean, we got a guy that misspelled tomato. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We kicked him out of politics. Oh, right. We kicked his ass out of politics.
Yeah. And I don't know. She seems really credible.
Who,
and it's
totally
Carol? Believable what she's saying he would do.
It all seems, you know, right from the script. I mean, really, in terms of, you know, that's... Yeah, it's I see his character motivation. You know what I mean? Like, he's the guy.
Yeah.
He seems like he's the guy that would do that.
Yeah.
They're going to try to submit the audio recording of the Billy Bush conversation. You remember that? He was about to go on some show, and Billy Bush were...
Grab him.
Right.
Grab him by the pussy.
You can do anything you want if you're a celebrity.
Yeah.
You know, grab him by the pussy, do whatever, you know. Pardon my language.
I think we're going to get into some language here, because it's kind of about language, in some cases, anyway. Right?
Of course, this all coincides with Biden saying, yeah, I'm going to run again.
Yeah, right. And the news that Tucker, speaking about language, was fired as much for saying the C word around the office so much as costing the company $750 million.
Well, not only using the C word, but who he was using the C word about. That didn't help.
Right? Company bigwigs.
Yeah, you really can't, the owner of the company. I mean, there's a short list of people.
Right?
You know, even if you are a celebrity, there's a short list of people you can't disparage. So, I guess it was Murdoch's kid. Did you hear that?
No.
Like Rupert Murdoch's son, I guess, is the one that finally pulled the trigger and was like, no, nope, he's out.
Lachlan?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. So he's been doing this for a long time, according to, you know, various sources. But a week after the settlement, he gets fired.
Right.
So there's got to be some connection there.
Well, I think he spent that week between those events, just disparaging the company, talking about how dumb everybody was.
And, yeah.
You know, the C word. Fox losing a ton of money, though. I guess, you know, Tucker drove in viewership.
Did what?
He drove in viewers. I mean, they say there were, you know, they were saying there was like between 3 and 4 million people were tuning into the show.
No question about that. And,
Which is like hundreds more listeners than we have. I mean, it's many hundreds more. So
Kilmeade in Tucker's place pulled 53% less audience than the week before with Tucker. So, yeah.
You know, it's hard to believe, you know, of course, Tucker comes from old money, right?
That's what I hear.
It's the, what is that, Swanson Frozen Dinners?
Oh, Swan's right.
Frozen Dinners.
Sure.
What is it? Is it Swanson?
Swanson. Yeah, it's... That doesn't sound right, does it?
It's a huge octopus of...
Frozen food.
Frozen food companies.
Yeah.
So it's hard when somebody, you know, is farting through silk for so many years.
Right.
Let's say. Then to, you know, you stick them in a spot of responsibility and some... You know, even if it is a performance thing, I think the progeny of the very rich are not of much account. Let's say, not always.
I knew some cool rich kids,
but typically
they trust speaking. Funds and they just partiers.
You know, Dominion files this lawsuit. We want what was it, like $1 billion, $1.5 billion they wanted.
Yeah, 1.6 billion.
1.6 billion. You know, Fox fought. Hey, there's nothing to this. There's nothing to this. There's nothing to this. They get to the last second. They just paid him some money, $987 million.
First day of the trial, they were just not gonna
first day
let that happen.
It reminds me of when Lloyd's of London sued the Saudi royal family for their part in 9/11.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, right. After the 9/11 attacks, well, I guess Lloyd's of London Insurance Company insured some floors of the World Trade Center. So they had to do huge payouts, I guess. So they sued the Saudi royal family for that money.
Interesting. And I didn't know that.
And it was settled out of court. What is your thoughts on settled out of court?
Well, I mean, you know, there's a purpose for that. It avoids, you know, in cases where it happens, it avoids, you know, going forward and, you know, with a court case and, you know, the expense of that and, you know.
So it wasn't the money. If someone's trying to get $1.6 billion from you and you're like, no, here's $987 million, go away.
Yeah, right.
Then my guess is, logically looking at it, my guess is the $1.6 billion wasn't a deal breaker either. It's not really about the money, is my feeling.
Well, I was wondering about the negotiation there, and it's $787.5 million.
Million.
Point five.
Throw an extra 500 G's on there.
An extra half million. How did they get down to that? I mean, couldn't
they? Yeah, threw an extra $500,000 in, just, you know, for everybody.
Well, were they balking at $788 million? Is that, and okay, we'll knock another $500,000 on. All right. Is that what happened?
It does seem strange. Yeah, it seems weird. Yeah. Fox will have to pay that money, though, right? I mean, it's not like they will get out of paying the money. It's a. I mean, that company's worth tens of billions of dollars, so...
Sure. They made $4 billion last year, though, so 4-point-something billion last year, so that's still a significant chunk of that.
And they're not done, either. No, there's another lawsuit.
Smartmatic's coming up. And so...
That's a $2 billion lawsuit.
So Newsmax saw record ratings this week.
Right.
And but so they've got Dominion still coming after them, though. 2.7 billion.
Right.
One of the lawyers was asked, well, how do you get to $2.7 trillion? How'd you get that number? And they said, well, the worth of the company, Dominion, from, you know, previous to that was this number, and now it's this number, which is $2.7 billion less.
Boom.
Yeah.
Billion with a B.
Billion, yes.
Yeah, I think Smartmatic, or that's the one that's the next one up to bat.
That's the next one up,
They've said that they are not settling. So,
oh, they've already said that.
They've said that. We are not, there's no payout here. We're going to trial.
Oh, good for them.
So, whatever Fox thought they were getting out of with Dominion,
they may not have gotten out of. So definitely Fox is trying to find its place right now, post-Tucker.
Where do you think Tucker ends up?
Well, Tucker did a tweet the other day, a video tweet, and it sounded like his show, basically. It was only 2 minutes long, but he was just talking about, the normal Tucker stuff.
You know, Rachel Maddow made some joke about welcoming Tucker to MSNBC. I mean, she's good. You know, and it's a funny joke, but at the same time, it's like I could sort of see them doing that kind of a little bit. You know what I mean?
Well, it would be funny.
Just drag him over and make him do the opposite. Make him be a liberal. You know what I mean? Pay him the $20 million. Yeah, okay, we got $20 million for you here, but you need to be a Biden fan.
He used to be more liberal than he is. Although, so, well, what was that? What was that one that he? It was a show that it was kind of like a left right show that he did with.
Now you're thinking of Hannity and Combs.
Well,
remember Sean Hannity had
on he had Fox, Hannity but this Combs. Was on this was on CNN. Firing line? No, that's not firing line. Jesus, I should look this up. Well,
and Tucker was on there?
Yeah, Tucker and somebody else. And Tucker like was in the bow tie days, and he didn't really make that much sense then either. But that's silly. I saw
the shtick. You know, it's like, okay, I'm dressing like an old guy because I have old viewpoints, kind of thing. That's how I always read it. I'm like, okay, he's kind of pandering to people that are doddering, basically. You know,
right?
I remember when they used to wear bow tie. John used to wear a bow tie like that. I'm telling you, as a strategic maneuver, MSNBC, CNN, the best money you can ever spend to destroy Fox would be to bring Tucker on and make him be liberal, pay him to be liberal. It would ruin Fox even further.
You know,
it would throw a spotlight on everybody that stays at Fox and continues to do the rhetoric.
So that would be really funny. I can't imagine that happening. I don't think it would be a good move for him. He's got, you know, the largest conservative audience in the country still. I mean, we don't really know, what his audience is going to do now. Apparently
he should just come back as like Steve Carlson with a regular tie. Like, I'm Tucker's cousin, but it's him still. You know what I mean? Like, right. No, I'm Steve.
Right. Just completely changes identity.
Just switch the tie, switch to a regular tie and then just do the same shit. You know what I mean?
Well, he switched to a regular tie a while ago.
Oh, did he? Oh, I haven't seen him in,
I check in on him pretty frequently.
I did see him in a regular tie, I guess.
I check in on him pretty frequently. I never get not to the anymore. End of the show, though. I mean, I always have to. It's just too disgusting. But
it's kind of infuriating. I mean, the whole thing. But you know, this is a moment where, you know, maybe journalism is held to some account. I mean, like you said, it's a multi-billion company, but that's a lot of money. 987 milo.
Sure, sure. I think this is one of the most important First Amendment, ruling, but it's not a ruling because it was a settlement, but cases, let's just call it that, since Sullivan, you know, kind of allowed a little bit of latitude for mistakes in a journalistic story. And this kind of puts the brakes on that a little bit.
Speaking of journalism and or lack thereof, are you following the huge riots happening in France?
Sure.
That have been going on for months.
Yeah. Yeah. For over over 2 years added to, you know, your work career.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
62 to retirement 64 age. For retirement age.
And of course, you know, this isn't happening in a vacuum. They are running out of money for retirement. Sure. I mean, this is happening all over Europe. And, you know, they say it's going to happen here as well. Which is people are just living a lot longer than they were before. And it's starting to have a cumulative effect.
And so the, you know, and so the payout, yes, will be bigger. And the government's trying to push back on that. And but, you know, I mean, and that's kind of the same argument that's going on here. And they actually did raise the retirement age for Social Security here many years ago. Right. But that was always 60? A bogus argument.
Right. But it was 60, right? And then we raised it to 65? I can't remember.
Yeah, let's see. It was...
Or 58 or something. It was...
I think when... to get your full benefits... No.
You could get it early at 62, I think.
Yeah. Before.
Now
but to
you
get
can't.
Your full benefits, they added a couple of years. I think it might even be 67.
Wow. So, I mean, that's just a calculation. 2 more years, X number of people will die, take that money out, boom, boom, boom. Okay. That's the deal. So it could it go to 70? You know what I mean? It's like.
So I don't think that's a real thing because, one, we need to transfer more money down to the lower levels. And that would be an okay way to do it. If you got to pay more money out to the middle class and to the poor, that's one way to do it. So that, you know, I mean, I advocate for that. So,
right.
So the whole idea that we just, it's going to run, Social Security is going to run out of money. Never going to happen. We just vote the money, you know, which sounds cavalier, but it's nonetheless true. It's the way we,
is it?
Well, right.
Is it really, every, you know, it's like, it's weird that
well, obviously there's an upper limit to what we could do, but we're nowhere near it.
But I mean, there's never a single word about, geez, Social Security's in trouble. Maybe we should spend less money on the military this year and kind of hedge it out like that. There's never, that conversation never happens.
Right.
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 So it's just, the problem is with this account and we need to figure out a way to pay less. That's
right.
It.
It's basically
the only solution.
It's basically the corporate party, the Republican Party that always brings that up, but they never talk about, you know, defense. The thing of it is, we can fund defense and we can fund Social Security.
Yeah.
We've got like a $27 trillion economy.
Right.
And so really what we're talking about is chicken feed.
But in terms of France, like, you know, the whole country's shut down at this point. There's major riots happening.
Yeah.
Major strikes across all sectors. You know, we're getting real close to just a general strike, basically. And you're not seeing a lot of that on the news here, I'm noticing. I mean, I've seen some on the internet, but not, it's not a news story.
Yeah, here. You're right. I wonder why.
I mean, I wonder why. Meanwhile, if there's a riot in Ferguson, Missouri, for example, you know what I mean? If there's a protest happening somewhere in the U.S. over police brutality or something like
probably
that.
Probably going to hear about it.
I mean, that's like our top story tonight. They destroyed a Target.
Yeah.
Why do you suppose that is?
Well, so we're talking about journalism again. And there's always a calculation about what will put eyes on our, you know, our newspaper, our magazine. And
right.
So
well, that's part of the Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think
and it's certainly skin like, color,
as you suggest, it's not all of it. It's part of it.
It's part of it. Yeah.
And then so there is a political ideology of, you know, the people that put out that particular publication is certainly also part of it.
I think it seems like it's the melding of corporatocracy and racism together.
Well, this is a Rupert Murdoch quote. He was saying that Fox is not red or blue, it's green.
Hmm.
In other clicks. Words,
yeah, well, clicks.
Yeah.
Views. Right.
And he's right. Look at Fox, and you know,
man, Tucker really must have pissed somebody off, huh?
Right.
He really had to have gotten under somebody's skin, because there's nothing. He didn't do anything different than he hasn't always done.
So with their loss,
they're
going to
block
numbers,
his severance too. Did you hear that? They're blocking his severance pay.
They're blocking it.
Yeah, they're not going to pay him severance pay. They're saying he was fired with cause.
Oh, okay. Right. Oh, there'll be a court battle there.
Oh, yeah, they're already talking about it's going to be a giant, giant court battle between Tucker Carlson and Fox News. That should be good.
I wonder if, you know, Murdoch just folds shop and goes back to Australia.
Australia? Maybe. Maybe. I mean, they kicked him out of England already, so.
I mean, is Fox going to be too toxic?
Is Fox going to be too toxic? It's funny. They already tried to overthrow the government. What are we waiting for? You know, what's the signal? I just say it's not news. Look, they could get out of this easy. If I was Murdoch, I would just say, look, we're not a news channel. We're an entertainment channel. So,
you know, that's been hinted, though. A few years back, there was a defamation suit against Tucker, much smaller, but it was based on some false information that he'd given out over the air that hurt somebody, and the suit was dropped because the argument was, and this is the judge said, that no person with reasonable intelligence would believe anything that he's saying.
There you go. So that's entertainment.
Exactly.
That's not news. I think who was it? Was it Alex Jones kind of said the same thing during his trial? He said, I'm playing a character.
Right.
No, you can't sue me for defamation. I'm a character. It's a show.
That didn't work for him, though.
It didn't work, no.
And it worked for Tucker in that instance, but, you know, couple of years later, and now we're where we're at now.
It reminds me, years ago, this degenerate gambler guy, I don't know if he's a degenerate gambler, but he's a gambler, and he lost a bunch of money betting on sports, right?
Yeah.
He sued the National Football League. He said the games are rigged.
Oh, right.
So I want my gambling losses back since this is rigged. And I think it got all the way to circuit court before the judge finally ruled that the NFL is entertainment, and that you do not have a reasonable expectation that the games wouldn't be rigged. It's entertainment. It's not a true sporting event. You're gambling on a TV show.
That's an interesting ruling.
And there's no law. You can gamble on a TV show if you want to, but you can't sue the TV show for not. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. And I see the logic of that, too.
But I mean, to a casual sports fan looking at that ruling, I was like, so is it rigged or
they're not ruling on
it? Kind of
maybe it's rigged, maybe it's not. But
it seems like if it wasn't rigged, that would have been the argument. No, it's not rigged. But instead of doing that argument, they went with, well, it's a show.
Yeah.
I think Fox could get out of all of this just by coming clean and saying, look, this is a TV show. It's not news.
Well, they're doubling down on the high journalistic standards that they, you know, that was a.
How about infotainment?
Yeah, right. Try it.
Right. It's newsy and it's entertainment. It's entertainment that's newsy.
But it's only entertainment if you think it's real.
Of course, you're a reasonable person.
Now we're learning the level of reasonable people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm scared because, you know, I'm smart, but I'm not so smart that there should be this many people dumber than me. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I would like to think I'm in the middle somewhere, you know?
At least.
I mean, middle or slightly above, let's say, but wow. yeah, we've got some we have some issues with our educational system, I think, that are coming to roost, maybe.
I
rejection of science, rejection of logic.
Yeah. Homeschooling didn't help.
Sudan.
Jesus. We got our people out. Well, most staff, of them. I guess there's still Americans there sheltering in place if they're following.
Yeah, and the Americans there, they're sheltering. You're like, hey, hello. What, what are we supposed to do?
people are going to starve to death over there.
Yeah, which seems to be a recurring theme over there.
Failed states, Somalia.
Yeah, I'm wondering, though. I wonder about the failed state. Whenever I hear failed state they're talking about an African nation.
Right.
You know, or anything in that region, really. I start to wonder, though, like, you know, are we getting the whole story? Because it seems like we're militarily involved in every failed state.
Oh.
Somehow.
Right.
Yeah, in some fashion, we're either our weapons or our guys holding our weapons.
Well, they get really excited because it's the state that protects the ability of especially larger businesses to operate without being,
right.
You know, seized and all of that kind of thing.
Right.
Just being able to open up your little store, you know, is affected if you don't, you know, have cops on the same page and... et cetera, et cetera. So failed state does mean something.
I mean, why do I feel like the best move for us is to stay out of all of these things? Like on both sides. You know what I mean?
Right. And I don't... We're not supporting either side militarily, so... Which, in Somalia, we did do that. But we're not doing that.
I wonder, though.
This time.
I wonder.
Yeah, right. That's right. Who knows really secret right. stuff?
And we invented proxy war.
Did we?
And Egypt's, I think so, didn't we? I guess we didn't, but we perfected it. Yeah, now Egypt's about to choose sides over there.
Who is?
Russian mercenaries are making their way in. Egypt's about to choose a side.
Oh, right.
You know,
yeah,
which means which means India will be right there. I mean, this is
India's going with Russia.
This is a disaster here.
Well, yes, and the disaster is a democratic world versus an autocratic world.
Well, we have two warlords fighting here, basically, right?
Sudan,
paramilitary
yeah.
versus Sudan's official military.
Not exactly. They were both generals in the Sudanese army.
So one's a breakaway. He's got his troops.
Yeah.
And then
exactly.
So this is kind of, you can see what would have kind of transpired here in a way. I mean, this is what Trump's idea was, right? Take over the government, have a military that's sympathetic to me, kind of thing.
Oh, I fully believe that. He thought he'd have more military. Because
Oathkeepers, he thought they would raid the Capitol, kill a bunch of senators, and he would be ruler at the end of that day.
Yeah, that seems to be it.
Right. What a different world. I keep thinking back to that cop leading the throng of potential assassins to left instead of right to the chamber. I keep thinking about that.
Oh, right.
As a pivotal moment in world history kind of thing.
Yeah. The world would be kind of a different place.
I think it would be totally different
in there with the senators.
If that guy's not there and they just found their way into a full chamber.
And would they have started? What would they have done?
I don't know, but they were building gallows. They had many zip ties. My guess is they would have taken hostages, but how far would that have gone?
Yeah.
Who knows? There's no way to know for sure.
Yeah, well, there's no way to know. But it does look bad. I mean, they built a gallows. I think it was not a real gallows. It was a gallows that wouldn't have held anybody. But
no, it was it was more of a faux gallows.
Yeah.
It was an affectation.
Like
cufflinks.
To change the subject, though, I'm curious. Do you ever eat street taco or street tamales in Arizona?
Yes.
You do? And they're delicious.
Oh, yeah. They're always the best ones. Usually they show up, the ladies who make them or come to the grocery stores. Mexican grocery store, and they'll be outside, out in front.
Sure.
Yeah, it's that kind of deal. Well, you have to stock up, yeah.
Well, I understand that that they're against the law, technically, because they weren't, made in a
commercial kitchen.
A commercial kitchen. And so they passed a law to, allow that to happen, street tamales.
Right.
The Democratic governor has vetoed it.
So that's, what is that, restaurant lobby? I always try to figure out who paid him to do that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Who's
being protected by that decision?
Who is being protected by it?
I don't know a lot of stories of people being poisoned by street tamales. I'm not saying it never happened, but it definitely didn't make national news headlines. So seems like that's to protect restaurants, right?
Right. But it seems like there's still plenty of street tamales being sold.
Are street tamales putting that much of a dent in restaurant business?
Of course they cite the safety reasons.
Right.
The people that are against the street tamales. So I just wonder. It seems like it's hurting the Democratic Party in Arizona amongst immigrants.
Hmm. The average Mexican tends to swing a little right from back in the day.
Yeah, right. That's right.
I don't know if that's necessarily true now or if that will continue to be the case, but I mean, there was a moment when you could comfortably say that.
Yeah, right.
So I could definitely see this ruling being played up by GOP in states that are affected. Look what they're doing to you.
Yeah, yeah.
They're trying to destroy our culture.
And they're targeting the people that Democrats try to target, the working class, the people who need help from the government, people who need against big business, and street tamales is one way that people that, traditionally immigrants, kind of have a hard time and need help with their bills. And they do that by making tamales in their kitchen and selling them on the street.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a stopgap it's part of the deal. Right. Which is, that's the point of immigrants coming over. We want them to bring their knowledge, their recipes, their... Do you know what I mean? Bring your techniques here. Bring your talent here.
And some of the best tamales I've had are made, here on the street, you know, in somebody's home kitchen here in San Diego.
Right.
And so there needs, I think, if you made an accommodation for that, and make them able to get a license and a permit, and maybe even have their kitchens inspected, and then you can sell the street, you know, tamales.
Well, look, that, you know, that's the thing. You can get a certificate for your home kitchen, you know, and there's certain requirements, and, you know, they're not always easy requirements, you know, for people.
Right.
So there's some challenges there. I mean, I like the idea of an exemption, though. Like, this is a historic food or something, so yeah, it's okay. Yeah,
and, you know, I want to expand entrepreneurialism. I want, you know, just normal people with good ideas to be able to bring them to the marketplace. And it's really, I think, the upper echelon of business people that tamp that down more, you know, in other words, Republicans, than right. Democrats. So I think if you're for entrepreneurialism, you should be a Democrat.
Right. I mean, so that's the argument. And you know, business versus, you know, the spirit of entrepreneurs is raising the GDP, the overall activity of all of that. That's a good thing for an economy.
The Democratic governor's veto kind of goes against that, though.
It kind of does. And, who benefits? It should be easy for people to make mousetraps and try to sell them, right? But sure. The companies that make a lot of mousetraps, you know, they don't want that competition. They don't want someone to come up with a better one. So it seems like that stifles innovation.
Absolutely.
Right?
You know, they keep talking about, you know, the invisible hand of the marketplace. That's not what's going on. A few people get up there and have all the advantages, and then they use politics to tamp everybody else down.
Right.
And you've seen it in city government where, you know, some local rich people kind of get control of city government, and then they run it like it's their own little toy.
Corporation, by definition, requires that, right?
Sure.
It requires you to try to destroy competition, and it's part of the agreement.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing to, you know, I mean, we have Hawaiian pizza because a Greek guy in Toronto decided to throw pineapples on a pepperoni pizza. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, innovation comes from little small areas and small tables and small, you know what I mean? It comes from an individual person, an idea. Innovation has to be given
birth to. Which is kind of the opposite of, you know, rat-fucking the competition, which is what business...
I mean, you say, well, Jesus Christ, oh, you built something better. Let me destroy your company.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to compete with you. I want to do it the way I'm doing it.
Right, because that's the way I make money. That's the way.
After you're totally destroyed, maybe I'll adopt your idea. But you know, I'll steal some of your idea. But I mean, we can't exist side by side. And of course, a market is what? It's a bunch of people side by side selling things, right? It's not one company. That's not a market.
There is one company though that I sort of championed their pushback on.
Swan's Frozen Foods. No,
is it? No, is Disney. It Swanson? Disney pushing back on DeSantis and winning.
Yeah, Disney, unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable. When your jailer becomes your, you know, champion.
Yeah, right. But they were trying to make a combination with DeSantis after he started going after them because, you know, the don't say gay bill. And so then he tried to Reedy Development Corporation or area. Anyway, right. They have a special tax consideration.
Like an amnesty. It's like an amnesty. It's some, you know, right. They don't pay much.
Plus, they get to kind of have a say in what is developed around Disney World.
Exactly.
And so he was trying to attack that, but in a politically not very astute way, and in a much more politically astute way, Disney came in and locked all that stuff down. And so,
oh yeah.
So right now, DeSantis is losing that battle. Disney has an army of lawyers. It even makes him look weak.
Right.
And his numbers are going down at the same time, so I don't know if there's any connection there.
Well, people in Florida have an affinity for Disney, certainly.
One of their largest employers.
Right.
Like, it's number three, I think.
The government cannot punish a private company for their opinions.
25% of their tax base?
I mean, this is very basic, right?
Yeah.
The government is not in business to go after companies.
Right. And not even traditionally. Usually it's the other way around.
I'm just saying for purely political reasons. I mean, it's the worst case scenario, right?
Yeah.
You're not allowed to do that.
Right.
It's a First Amendment. How can you punish Disney for their opinions on anything that's a company?
Yeah, that's all they did. And that's what they're suing about right now, too, is it's the First Amendment issue.
And from what I've read, it's legal opinion, it's strong.
Yeah,
it's a real strong case, basically.
Yeah, he was using the power of the government to punish them for their opinion.
Right.
So that's a tough one to kind of argue.
Yeah, it's real tough. You know, it's funny, this MAGA thing, like, he speaks what's on it, he says what's on his mind, like that kind of vein that ran through all of that.
Yeah.
It's starting to bite them on the ass a lot because Tucker Carlson and now, you know what I mean? It's you say what's on your mind, but there's some rules and regulations to what you can say and how to say it and where to say it.
Well, that's you know, one of the reasons I'm saying it. It seems like a corner has been turned on you know, MAGA.
And it looks like they're going after all the perpetrators and holding them accountable, too. It seems like that's happening.
Yeah.
I guess the January 6th thing still has legs. That's still happening.
Oh, absolutely. There was a couple arrested not long ago for their involvement as a husband and a wife.
And the subpoena's got approved for Pence's phone, and
yeah,
that just happened. Like that was going on for months. Like they want to see what messages Pence got.
Yeah, so we're getting to a real, you know, particular point where, you know, the MAGA's. I think they're losing, you know, people at the edges. It's independents. It's moderate Republicans. They're losing those people. But the core group, I don't know. It seems like they're doubling down.
Well, now, and Trump is officially running, and Biden's officially, we're going to have to go through this again.
Right.
I just read an article of a doctor that seemed to suggest Biden, he would surprise him if Biden lived 5 more years.
Uh-huh.
I understand that's politically motivated, but nonetheless, you know, he's getting up
there.
Well,
I don't think anybody can say that, but nobody knows.
And this is the cream. This is the cream of the crop, right? The cream rising to the top. These are the two choices, huh?
Well, there's only two people in the United States, so.
These are the two. Well, that's true. Yeah. of all the politicians, of all the everything.
Yeah.
Public servants. This is going to be
our choice. Well, here's the thing about Biden. He's done really well.
Sure.
The economy is doing great, except for inflation.
Well, keep in mind how bad everything was when he took over. So
yeah.
Yeah. He's done really well. You know, it's done really well. Let's say we've all done really well. America did a good job of despite very poor planning and execution, we got through it.
What, the pandemic?
Exactly.
Well, with some of the worst
economy
death
tanking,
numbers
the
of
pandemic.
With some of the worst death numbers, though.
Yeah, but we survived.
We survived, and our economy took a hit.
People are going to theaters again.
We survived that better than any other, you know, industrialized country. Our economy did better than just about everybody else.
Biden's done really well, but he also, you know, and I'm not trying to be an ageist here. I understand you want somebody with the most experience and knowledge, you know, in important positions. So that's generally going to be an older person.
Right.
No matter what you're talking about. So I see the value and incredible value of is people that are willing to continue working in public service even beyond retirement age, 67 or whatever it is.
Sure. You
know, I respect it. We need that. We need that.
All right. Well, so my father is 99.
Right.
And I talk to him frequently. And so
right.
I get a sense of his decline. And through the 80s and well into the 90s, he was pretty much as sharp as ever.
And that would have been in his 70s, 80s.
He's a little slower now. He still chops wood. He still drives. He's 99.
Right.
So I'm not worried about Biden's age. 86 right. at the end of the term. I mean, you know, some people die. Some people have problems, cognitive and all that. But
sure.
I don't think that's really a thing. And mostly, too, the government is being run by a team. Led by Biden, to be sure, but it's still a team,
right.
And it would be a team. You know, if it's Trump, it's probably a. Well, that was a team too, but
it just was the wrong team. It just seems like here we go again, and are the choices a doddering old man or a lifetime criminal,
yeah,
con man. Like those are the two.
Well, I hope it's Trump because he can't win.
No, I wouldn't think so.
He's got his core base, but it's just not big enough.
So you know the issue is the Democratic Party voter defectors from that group of the 82 million or 85 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
That how many are going to be like wait. He's too old. What about Kamala? What about this other person? You know, I'm not going to vote for him. Like, how many people is that versus MAGAs who are defecting?
Right.
And we'll go.
Well,
over, you know,
in 2020,
does that wash out those two?
In 2020, we learned that a lot more people voted for Biden than we thought were going to, based on polling.
Right.
In 2022. Same thing happened. The left has been energized by right-wing overreach. And the Dobbs decision, the end of Roe v. Wade, that was a gift. That has energized the left like no one.
Had a couple nice victories, on that front, Tennessee and somewhere else, GOP legislators.
Yeah, yeah, they were trying and
yeah,
failed. Although a bunch of states have outlawed abortion outright, and you know, then others with some limits. But so it's the gift that keeps on giving. People who support abortion, and that's most people. They're highly motivated by that issue.
Right. It's an issue. I mean, you're not outlawing abortion. You're outlawing safe abortion.
Yeah. So. Right. Exactly. Did you hear, speaking about babies, did you hear about a guy in Netherlands that's fathered 550 babies?
That sounds complicated.
Well, he's a sperm donor.
Oh, okay.
And he's donated sperm to, you know, so many women that And which they did not know. Apparently, that's part of the. They've passed a law now that you can't donate sperm to any more than 25 babies or 12 different mothers.
And that's 25 kids. That's the limit.
So he's been enjoined from donating any more sperm. It's a weird thing that there would be a law about, but.
They figured it out because he needed a kidney, and he came back with like 14 matches.
Right.
Well, which one would you like? Let's see.
Well, I mean, 550 babies,
It seems like a lot of babies.
Right? And it seems like his DNA, you know, what would that do to the total DNA pool, gene pool?
Well, it could have like a mini Genghis Khan type effect.
What's a mini Genghis Khan effect?
Well, I'm saying like, you know, the genome project people in like 200 years will be looking at the data and like, you know, there seems to be this other group within the group. All these people are related, but we can't figure out how.
Well, I mean, well, in this particular case, they know how and they're a little upset by it. So... And I think the Kurt
500 kids originally. Yeah, I think you call Big Daddy. I think you call him Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
You know what I mean?
Why does that? I always hear that phrase in a Southern accent. Big Daddy.
Yeah, Big Daddy. How much could you possibly get for a sperm donation?
You know what I mean? Gee, I don't know.
I gotta feel like it's less than a grand, right?
Right. Well, I think
so. You have to go, Matt. I mean, you have to masturbate in some weird way to get that money, right? You got to go to the hospital.
So, yeah, do you have to use rubber gloves?
It's humid. The whole thing's probably humiliating. You go to the hospital. Hey, I'm here to, you know. Okay, here's your thing. You can go right in there.
I wonder if they get, you know, materials that they can use to. You know, some porno.
My understanding is there are some materials in there. There are some adult materials in the envelope. If you
is it the good stuff though, or you know, is it a 1947 Nature magazine?
Well, that is the good stuff, but yeah, no. You know, I'd imagine you know it's a variety that's there, so you know to appeal to whatever your particular deviation is. You know?
Yeah.
500 kids. God right. damn.
550.
That's a lot of kids. I mean, these kids are all half siblings, right?
Exactly. It's a family. They don't know each other.
I think those kids legitimately have the right to know about each other's existence and be given the opportunity to connect with each other if they choose to.
Absolutely.
It seems weird to not do that. Don't you feel like all those people would be like even on a subconscious level would be feel like they were missing something?
Like I can't remember exactly what I read in the story, but I think there is a move afoot to connect, you know, all the people that were born from this guy.
I at least put them all in a Facebook group, you know.
Right?
Hey, you've been invited to your Facebook group with your DNA matched brothers, half brothers and sisters. So,
yeah, are you family interested? Gathering, photo op, and barbecue.
And you know, this guy's sitting around going, "Yeah, I got the money, but can you imagine all the Father's Day gifts I would get from this group?"
Father's Day gifts.
I'm telling you, 500 people showing up at your house once a year to give you gifts.
Right, but you got to foot the barbecue.
What's that?
You got to foot the barbecue.
That's a hell of a barbecue. Yeah, right. And you think about all the child support too. You know,
yeah,
it's like ooh, you know, every kid's getting. Well, I mean, every kid's going to get like you know 39 cents or something. You know what I mean? It's the whole thing's a disaster. That doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't think this guy's rich.
But the Father's Day gifts, I think if they all connected and made a thing of it, I think the next move would, they would spontaneously be like, all right, let's look up our dad and, you know, try to let him know we're all cool with it. You know, they'll want to let him know, hey, it's, you know, you don't have to feel weird about this. We, you know, we all got together and it's a good thing.
It is a, it's a weird thing. I a friend who was adopted and he did a 23andMe thing and he connected with his biological family.
Right.
And it was a weird thing. I mean, he was glad to have done it. You know, he didn't change his family name, but, it was a weird thing. He did it at, you know, like 30 something. And before
it's
that,
a tough thing. I think
no
if
idea.
Either party, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think either party should be able to go and contact the other one?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think any of that stuff should necessarily be secret.
Okay. If either one of them wants to.
Absolutely.
Right. So they should be able to go to the government. Hey, I'm adopted. I want to find out who my... Okay, here we go. Here's the news.
And there are legal hurdles to that in some cases.
But what as a parent, what if you, like, after 20 years, you're like, I got to know about my kid. And so then could you... Would you think the parent should be able to go to the government? Hey, I want to find my kid I adopted.
Yes,
or
absolutely.
Adopted out.
Either way, although I think...
either way.
I think the child would have more cause.
Sure. Should be easier for the kid to do that?
But it should be okay for either side.
Right.
Well,
maybe like $139 if the parents do it and like $80 if the kid wants to do it.
Well,
like
another friend of mine who was adopted and didn't know who his parents were until he was in his 50s, about the age of 50, a social worker in Seattle discovered his family, and that's when he learned that he was Finnish. This is the lead singer in my band. He discovered he was Finnish. He had a large family in Finland. He connected with them. He's still there now. This is like 10 years, 15 years later now. He's been living in Finland, and he's inherited some property from his family there, and
Well, you know, you've convinced me. I think I want to learn who my biological parents were.
Absolutely.
You know?
It's just as a matter of curiosity, if nothing else, you know?
Because I don't believe my parents were my real parents, you know? I don't believe that.
Well,
I don't believe it. There was a coldness. There was a coldness.
You never really can be sure, I suppose.
Oh, I was. I felt pretty sure. I couldn't confirm anything.
All those swapped in the hospital. That sounds like the name of a, you know, novel or something.
No. Not swapped in the hospital. My parents were entirely too old to have had me. You see what I'm saying? So my mom would have been like 2 years off the North American record. And they weren't in, and she'd had a miscarriage. I could fairly confirm that had happened a couple of years prior.
Okay.
So she was already not.
Oh, so you're a miracle baby.
A what?
You're a miracle baby.
Well, that's what they say, but I'm saying the miracle is them thinking they would get away with whatever they tried to pull. So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't think I was a miracle baby. I think I was born to someone that couldn't claim me for whatever reason.
You were a purchased baby.
A purchased baby or a passed off baby, like a baby that was passed on to them. Like, here, you take care of this baby, say it's your baby.
Maybe they stole you.
I don't know. It's probably more insidious than that, even. I don't know. But I guess 23andMe is the one you got to do, because I did like the National Geographic one, like the Genome Project.
Right.
I did that one. But that one, I don't think kind of draws those lines for you. I think 23andMe is the one that kind of says these are your parents.
Yes. Yes. Well, they also find, you know, more general data as like, you know, what large gene pool, you know, you're from. Like, I had an aunt that did it and found there's more French gene pool in our family, you know, genome than we previously were aware of.
Yeah, you have a little wee-wee in your pool.
Yes, wee-wee-wee.
Wee-wee-wee.
Good morning.
I think we're going to end the show.
Good morning.
What do you think?
Well,
good morning.
I don't want to do like a big flourish.
We've got an hour here. We'll talk about butts next time. Just want to tease that.
Absolutely. Consider this show to be part one of a two-part show.
Okay. All right.
Because I want to pick up right where we left off with Tucker Carlson's bow tie.
I know.
So if you're watching America, America the show, from another country, you're listening to a report of what's going on, sort of.
Yes.
Would that be accurate?
Sure.
Yeah.
Right on the money.
So stay tuned because it's going to get a lot more exciting. And only 2 mass shootings this week, so congratulations, America. You really got it together. Well, oh, sorry, 3. Only 3, and we're like 5 days in, but we're doing real good this week.
Well, I don't know, though, because did you hear about the leaf-blowing incident?
We've had 3 kids killed in the last week because they knocked on the wrong door, opened the wrong car door, rolled a basketball onto a driveway.
Well, yesterday, an old guy, 79, was pissed off because a neighbor was using a leaf blower and went out and shot him dead. And I get the leaf, you know, the antipathy to the leaf blower, but gee.
Seems like a bit of an overreaction.
Resort to weaponry just too quick.
So, thank you for listening. Please don't kill your neighbors over, you know, noise.
Even leaf blowing, which I hate, but, you know, even that provocation.
In fact, just nobody kill anybody for the whole week. Let's try that.
Let's just try it. Week. Yeah. We'll see how that works out.
No killing at all. Thank you, James.
And thank you, Dave.
And you've been listening to All You Fascists on your preferred satellite network.
Ciao. Go to the kitchen now to make eggs and toast.